Hi, this is Stephanie Schaefer, and you're listening to the North Star Narrative, a podcast from North Star Academy. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you're encouraged, challenged, and motivated by what you learned today. Enjoy the story. Hey, everybody. Welcome. I am thrilled to introduce to you Carol Bender today. Carol is a nurse practitioner and has founded a clinic called Joy Wellness Partners in California. She grew up in Pennsylvania and she went to college and got her master's from the University of Pennsylvania. She has spent some time in Africa doing nonprofit work, and she loves her job and just the growing awareness of regenerative medicine. And so we're going to talk about that today and find out what is regenerative medicine and how is that helping people be healed all over the world. She loves to travel, so we definitely want to hear about your travels. Thank you so much, Carol, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure, Stephanie.
Yeah, I love to travel too, so I'm excited to hear about your adventures. I know that you've been to every continent except Antarctica so far. So do you plans to visit Antarctica?
Actually, I don't like the cold very much, so I'd probably have a lot more countries to visit before I ever end up putting that on my bucket list.
I do not like the cold either. All right, so yeah. Out of all the continents, what are some of your favorite places to travel and why?
Wow, well, I really like some of the off-the-beaten-path locations in the world. So when I went to Africa, I hiked the Congo volcano, which actually recently erupted. I also really liked Cameron Highlands, Malaysia, that's up in the middle of the... So I like mountains, I think, is really a common theme. And I also like the connection with the ocean. So I really liked the places I snorkeled in Malaysia and Tiaman Island. And I enjoyed the mountains in Chile and Argentina as well. Those are definitely some top ones. And I can't, you know, forget to say the more advanced, more recent trip that I took for my honeymoon in New Zealand with my husband. That was breathtakingly gorgeous. And that would be another place I would probably live if everything was closer in terms of family and work and all of practicality. New Zealand was incredible.
Wow. Sounds like some amazing adventures that you've been able to take, just seeing and experiencing God's beauty all over the world. Yeah,
amen.
So awesome.
And yeah, my first travel was because of missionary work that my parents had been invited to pursue. They were missionary children in Asia, so they already incorporated or exposed us to a love for culture and a love for the world and a love for God's people and missions work ever since we were younger. And since we were born, we went to the Philippines when I was 4 and spent a year there. And my whole family really just has a love for and a passion for the big world that God has and how many different people reach him through many different walks of life and places and experiences. My grandma was the first person to help the written language be written for the Buhid people in the Philippines. And their written language was the Bible. She translated the Bible for them. So I just have a huge inspiration for and heart for the world and for just God's work internationally. So the work of North Star being so supportive, I mean, I think one of the things that I didn't even mention this on the interview, but that inspired me to really do this podcast is that my parents didn't have North Star when they were growing up, and my parents had to go from either Thailand or the Philippines over to a boarding school in Malaysia or Singapore or America for their academic years. And they spent several, you know, at age 5, 7 months, 8 months away from their parents every year. So this is just an amazing thing that North Star is bringing to missionary kids and to all types of children and adults. I know not the youngest ages, but I just really appreciate what you guys do. And I can see how it would have helped my parents immensely back in the day.
Oh yeah. We have been so just honored to be able to serve so many families across the world and many families that are working to translate the Bible, just like your grandmother. And so it's so cool to be a part of that, even though I'm in South Haven, Mississippi, you know, get to be a part of what's happening all over the world, just a small part. So that's so cool. And so where you grew up in Pennsylvania, and I know you said that you were homeschooled. So what was your homeschool journey like?
Yeah. So when we were coming back from the Philippines, my mom decided to homeschool because of that missionary family friend that was starting homeschooling her children too, as a alternative to, you know, public schools and just being able to do homeschool no matter what the career of the family and the path of the, you know, their future took them. So we started homeschooling right when we were leaving the Philippines. And then we just continued it because my mom was really passionate about being bonded with her children and giving us a diverse education. So from the very beginning, it was like, you know, A through Z, we would go and experience the apple orchard and we would go and, you know, go to like Baltimore for the letter B. And so everything was very experiential learning. And one of the benefits of that was we could, you know, use our vacations for homeschool days and write in our journal and just experience the world. And we would always have really good test scores when we were in the Pennsylvania State Assessment Test. So we knew that it was working. And my mom was just so dedicated. She had my three, me and my two sisters, we were all kind of doing certain classes together, like Japanese and Latin and different things that you couldn't really do in the public school system. And we still are super close as a family today. And I think that homeschooling really promoted that for us as a moral upbringing and as a close family upbringing, and also getting us ahead academically to be able to then attend the Wharton Business School and the Ivy League School of the University of Pennsylvania. I really attribute that to the investment that my mom put in the early years. So all the way up through sixth grade, we were homeschooled. And then once we started seventh grade, then we realized we wanted interaction more with sports and with social world, you know, the social interactions and the sports that the public school could bring. And, you know, now there's more opportunities to do sports and do social interaction, you know, without going to public school. But that was the way it was back for us back then. So it was a good transition, I would say.
I love that. Your mom sounds amazing. Just giving you really cool opportunities on a daily basis. Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Do you attribute your entrepreneurial spirit to your mom?
Yeah. Yeah, to my mom and my dad. I would say my father started his own landscaping business. And ever since I was little, when we were being homeschooled, we would do little entrepreneurial things along the side. So homeschooling gave us that ability to do that. So I would go to all my neighbors and sell the magazines and the different candles and all those kind of little businesses. I used to knit little mittens and scarves and hats and booties for the American Girl dolls of all of my friends. So their moms would buy them from me and I would sell them. I would also, you know, sell strawberries in our front yard and go to the auctions of our, you know, the houses that were being sold and sell lemonade and cookies. So little entrepreneurial things ever since I was young. I did that more than my sisters for sure. So being the oldest child, I don't know, maybe my dad influenced me, like getting me involved in business and such, and being homeschooled, that my mom facilitated all of that and encouraged me no matter what pursuit I wanted to pursue.
Well, yeah, I know having that homeschool option, whether you're doing it, you know, with mom or online school like North Star, it just gives you more flexibility, more hours in the day to pursue.
That's right. That's
things exactly like selling right. strawberries in your front yard.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. We would usually finish school by 12 noon or 1 o'clock. So we definitely had more time in the day to pursue things that were, you know, our passions.
That's good. And then, so what made you decide to go to Africa? Tell us that story and what you did while you were there.
Yeah. So when I was in my freshman, sophomore year of the University of Pennsylvania, the concepts of microfinance became around like 2005, 2006 were really coming to the forefront. So microfinance is the concept of lending small loans to the people at the bottom of the pyramid, they say, where they usually don't have access to capital or access to resources to build small businesses unless they go to a loan shark who will take a lot of their money as they're making their money as a business. Like the interest rates are, you know, hundreds of percent rather than 6% or 2% or whatever the different rates are that we have here in the US. So I was super excited about the concept of microfinance. It seemed to jive really well with the, you know, sustainable development that I saw. I saw some nonprofits doing it. I saw how it was, you know, elevating people from their poverty through a sustainable model, like teaching a man how to fish rather than just giving a man fish to eat for a day. So if you teach him how to fish, he feeds for a lifetime. So that was amazing. And I was also in the nursing program in the business school. So one of my friends went to, or, you know, there was a microfinance class at school and I joined it and was trying to bring healthcare to the bottom of the pyramid through microfinance as a, just a concept. And so it was amazing because we did this pilot project. And through that pilot project, we were able to develop a business plan. And we picked the country of Burundi because our a partner in microfinance nonprofit that I had interned at had had an established location there. And so we thought we could piggyback off of their offices and their network they had throughout the country. So we were developing this pilot project as a class project for the Wharton Business School microfinance course. And we got an A+ when we presented. We were super supported by our faculty, but the markets crashed. The stock markets and everything is like the housing real estate market crash of like 2008. And when I graduated in 2009, nobody wanted to fund this nonprofit startup. So I told the partners that I was working with, they were actually from different parts of Florida and they were more businessmen. I had the medical side of my nursing school to bring to the table. So I told them, why don't I go for the summer after I graduate college and pilot this idea by doing a lot of research and seeing if this, maybe a feasibility study is the right word to use. So complete a feasibility study and determine if this place in Burundi could actually need us, if the demand was there, and if we could make a case for us being there. So I went in the summer of 2009 and I spent my whole summer there researching, went to all the different provinces, went to many different clinics, pharmacies, and tried to develop the demand. And we really did. We determined that there's a huge gap in the healthcare system of Burundi. Not only was it at one point the poorest country in the world, but it was also rated the most difficult country to do business. So we found that if we could make a business work in Burundi, we could make it work anywhere. And after my summer, I delivered my business partners came in, they visited, and they agreed that we should really raise funding to make this happen. And what our model was to partner with existing clinics in the rural areas and increase their quality of care. So we called it a conversion franchise model. So we wouldn't start the clinics from scratch, but we would take the clinic that was operating at 20% efficiency and take it to 80 or 90% efficiency, where they wouldn't have stockouts of medications. So they would be able to serve every patient that came to them, where we would help them with their tracking of patient volumes. So they would know, are they keeping their patients, you know, are they serving their population well? After the first year of our operations, we were able to partner with 30 clinics and we doubled the patient volume of every clinic on average. So the clinics were able to see twice as many patients per year because of our interventions. We helped them with the business acumen. We helped them with the patient quality of care, teaching them how to do proper CPR. We helped them to save their, you know, reduce their infant mortality rates, maternal mortality rates, and just to improve simple things like the most common causes of disease in these third world countries oftentimes are simple fixes and very inexpensive fixes like, you know, diarrheal disease, upper respiratory tract infections can cause a lot of deaths. So helping them with hygiene and with immune system boosting measures, eating varied nutrition in their, you know, vegetables and fruits, not just cassava, even just helping them with changing out the water in their different canisters, washing their hands, basic things that they would get performance evaluations on every time we visited their clinic. And we would see if they were improving on these different metrics. And sure enough, education was a real answer for this improvement. You know, they were just a lot of times never educated above a base level of, you know, really like middle school education. Healthcare was what these healthcare workers were educated to. So we took them to another level. They improved their quality. They improved their patient outcomes. And these clinics, the networks are now not just in Burundi, but also in Uganda and a couple other East African nations. So I'm really impressed to be one of the founders of the organization called LifeNet International. And if you want to check it out, you can look up LifeNet International online and see more about what they're doing today.
Wow, that is an incredible story. Just your determination that God led you to continue to research and develop and push for that. And all the lives that have been changed because of that.
Thank you so much. It was definitely... you know, something I definitely felt God completely put in my heart and made it so clear. And even though there were so many times when the entrepreneurs I was working with, everybody was saying, hey, we should stop, we should end this. I was just determined. And it was a lot of good has come out of it. So I'm just so grateful for God's blessing in that.
Yeah. Wow. Cool story. Have you been able to go back and visit at all or have plans to?
Not since. No, I did I did that summer, and then I did the next year, and then a year after that I lived there. So I did 3 years in a row. And after that, it was, I guess, 2011. I started my master's in 2012 and became a nurse practitioner. And I would love to go back if the time is right and the opportunity presents itself to go back and maybe enhance a little bit of the curriculum and be useful when I go back. And I'm looking for that right moment.
Yeah. And just celebrate all the work, the previous work that was done. Wow.
Yeah.
And so out of that, out of getting your master's, I guess, becoming a nurse practitioner, when did you start getting into regenerative medicine? And can you define that for us and tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So I moved from Pennsylvania to find my first job that I could find as a full-time nurse practitioner in 2013. And the first job that I found that I liked was in Southern California, actually. So I moved out here and I was really excited about experiencing a new part of the United States, and the beauty of California definitely held me, you know, captive. And I enjoyed, you know, living here on my days off. I would go to the beach. And so California was awesome. I had a ER job, but I switched to a part-time clinic job where the first day I was doing a stem cell procedure on the knee. That was the very first day they had me learn how to do it and take over from a lady that was going on maternity leave. So I was super excited because I had learned about stem cell therapy in my master's program, how they were using stem cells from the person's own body to regrow the blood vessels of the heart to help to heal, cardiac arrest or like a heart attack. You know, when you have the blood vessels that stop flowing, then you can put stem cells into the heart and grow new blood vessels to allow the blood flow to return to the heart. So that was stem cell therapy. That was my first experience with regenerative medicine that I learned about in my master's. And when I first started my job, I was thrilled that I was going to actually be doing it in real life. It wasn't just a research project in some academic institution. We were actually doing stem cell therapy in a clinic. And the more and more that I was doing it, the more I realized it's under the category of regenerative medicine. So it's regenerative medicine would probably be simply defined as using your own body's healing capabilities to heal itself. So what you do with regenerative medicine is you use the tools that the body that God has designed within us to stimulate healing. And you just maybe move the concentration or the focus of the body to the area where there's an injury. So how that looks like in real life is picture when you get a cut, you have that sticky scab that forms, and it's kind of like that yellow goo before it becomes that hard brown, reddish brown scab. That yellow goo, that's called platelets. That's all the platelets going to your cut to heal that cut. Now you don't do anything to really heal the cut. You usually just let the body do the work, right? So you can expand on that model, and you can take those platelets from the body and inject them into another area where there might be a tear or an injury that's not healing after, like, you know, you wait 2 weeks to see if it'll heal and it doesn't heal on its own anymore. Maybe you're an older person and you're no longer as, you know, as young and regenerative as you used to be as a kid. So we can help support that by using your body's platelets and putting them in the spot where there's healing required and healing needed. So that could look like, you know, drawing your blood, spinning it in a centrifuge, and then taking out the golden serum called the platelet-rich plasma and injecting it into a muscle tear or a meniscus tear in the knee, or even like arthritic joints, like, you know, arthritis, osteoarthritis, back pain, neck pain, knee pain. Pretty much any pain in the body usually has an anatomical problem, an anatomical cause, whether it's, you know, just some wear and tear on the body or whether it's a traumatic injury from sports. Regenerative medicine is a really awesome non-invasive solution to really help people get back to their life. The benefits of regenerative medicine are that it's quick recovery time, that it's your own body's natural, you know, cells and natural growth factors doing the work. So you don't have the risk of side effects. You don't have the risk of, you know, infections like surgery. You don't have the risk of long-term, the surgery not going well. The worst that can happen when we do a regenerative medicine procedure is that it doesn't heal you as 100% as you used to be, or that your image on the MRI won't look as pretty as it did before you were injured. But the best thing is there's very little risk and very little side effects because it's your own body's, you know, your own body doing the work.
Wow. It's fascinating. I'm always just in awe of our bodies, you know, and how God's created them. So what, through this journey, what have you learned about God from our bodies?
Oh yeah. I mean, I have learned that God is a very intelligent creator, and his perfect design of how we heal and how we are created is better than anybody could have come up with if they would have tried to do it themselves. You know, just the amazing intricacies of anatomy. When we look at people's bodies, we see with 1/10 of a millimeter accuracy the nerves, the blood vessels, the fascia, the muscle, the tendon, the ligament, the tissue, and we see just how interconnected it is, and how it couldn't have been just by chance that it happened, because you'll see the similarities across hundreds and hundreds of people that were, you know, there's so many similarities in their anatomy, but then you'll see little nuances and little differences between each person that make them who they are. And, you know, that's fascinating to me. And I just had a baby 5 weeks ago, and I also feel that that miracle of birth and that whole experience just, again, attributed to my appreciation for the God of love that we have, and the God of intelligent design, and his love for us, and the way that he wants us to be pain-free. Like, that's just a beautiful thing that I appreciate. And I love that I can be a part of healing people's bodies as a mission of God. Here's my little baby screaming right now, but she's a happy girl. Just a beautiful testimony of God's love. Oh, yeah. Every, you know, finger and nail and toe and the anatomy, like, it's just a picture of God's design.
So good. Yeah, Carol, I love that. Love your journey that you have been on, and just all that you're learning. How did you decide to go from a nurse practitioner where you were working with stem cells to creating your own business?
Right. So I was inspired ever since I did business school and nursing school to utilize my Wharton business degree. And of course, my father kept on encouraging me to really make the most of your business degree, Carol, to impact more people. Because as a nurse practitioner, you're doing a lot of direct patient care. But if you become an entrepreneur, you can just scale that, and your impact can lead many different medical providers to impact many more people. So of course, I was looking for the opportunities and also trying to get enough of a handle on the clinical experience of a nurse practitioner myself during my first couple of years of being a nurse practitioner. And I finally found the opportunity when I turned a negative thing into a positive thing, when I had a difficult boss in my one clinic and the clinic ended up going under. That was the clinic that had been doing all of the regenerative medicine stem cell treatments up in Temecula, California. When that clinic went under, I was seeing it happening, and I realized that I could either, you know, I really had nothing to lose. And I started to seek out different opportunities for starting my own regenerative medicine center. I remember writing a business plan, just kind of in general, these are the things that I would do if I had the most amazing wellness center, you know, what it would be my dream and my ideal, and what kind of services would I offer? And then the opportunity arose where I thought I was going to be a partner with another clinic down in downtown San Diego, which was where my boyfriend was at the time in the military. And so it was a great location and seemed like a great collaborative partnership. And I got down in the beginning of the end of 2016, beginning of 2017 to this location. And then the medical director actually backed out. So I was with I had left my other clinic part-time, you know, and I thought I had everything on the line here. So I said, well, I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to start seeing patients. I had a couple patients that said, I'll follow you wherever you go. And so I just said, let's do a day every week, and I'll still work in the emergency room, making money to cover the rent of this facility. I'll still work in that other clinic a little bit, you know, here and there, because it hadn't completely gone under yet. And so I just really did the whole thing that entrepreneurs do, where they kind of work 3 jobs at once to cover their startup organization. And so I, you know, started with like 5 patients a week, and it would be like, hey, we're going to do these 5 patients regenerative medicine treatments. And at the same time, I'm going to train myself to learn other services that can make us more holistic clinic. So I learned how to do hormone balancing. And then I would add the hormone balancing piece to the patients that were getting regenerative medicine treatments and say, well, you need your inside of your body to be as optimal and healthy as possible in order for those stem cell therapies to take and to work and to be effective. So there was a lot of different components that came around the concept of regenerative medicine, which was that we want our bodies, like we want the soil to be fertile and fresh and nutrient rich before we plant the seeds of the stem cells into the body. So we did a lot of, you know, work on the soil, meaning like, let's get your hormones balanced. Let's get your vitamins and your diet and your fitness and your activity level optimized. So that turned into adding an IV lounge to our clinic and adding the, you know, the different bioidentical hormone replacement therapy services to our clinic and bringing on a naturopathic doctor and bringing on a integrative medicine doctor to the clinic and having, you know, other treatments like that can help sustain the effectiveness of the regenerative treatments. And I guess that's kind of how it grew from 2016 until now, where we're four and a half years into the clinic. We have many different providers that are all super kind and dedicated to the patients. And kindness is one of the character traits that we hear again and again from our patients. And that's something that I think, of course, the moral foundation of the biblical, you know, the things that Jesus says, love your God and love others and, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. That's kind of the foundation of how I ran the clinic and developed it because of partly that manager that wasn't a great manager. I learned right away, you have to treat your employees well. You have to treat your patients well, and it all comes back around. So, and having that love from God enables me to just overflow into loving patients, loving staff, and setting a good example.
That's good. I learned so many things right here. Some good advice. We learn a lot of stuff from bad experiences. So yes. What are you going to do with it? That's good. And then you don't have to have it all together to start. Like you just started where you were and then you were able to build on that one time. And the other thing was, if you have a dream, sit down and write it out. Like, if I could do this, what would it look like? And just start dreaming and brainstorming and getting it all down. So that's some really good, you know, practical advice for anybody that's listening that might have that entrepreneurial spirit, but, you know, needs a little encouragement. Can you think of anything else? Like maybe if you could go back, you know, 10, 15 years, what would you tell yourself that you wished you knew on the front end?
I think that from the, you know, I think believe your passions and look at the passions that God has uniquely given you, because you are created unique and your skills and your strengths are the things that are given by God and that will direct you into the pursuits of your future. Don't worry as much about what everybody else is doing and what the professors at school are telling you in college is the way that most people go. That might not be. I mean, really, Wharton Business School was training people to go to Wall Street. And I realized that I wanted to do more entrepreneurship. And that was more of a small subcategory of more, you know, not the main focus of the business school. So I didn't look like as a success right away when I went. I didn't go to Wall Street from the Wharton School where you get huge bonuses. And I realized, okay, these are some lessons, you know, don't focus on the money. If you're passionate about something, focus on what drives your passion, because it's probably God-given and it's probably going to bring you way more fulfillment and joy than, you know, than the money. And then also don't do what everybody else is doing. Don't just go the mainstream way, because your unique skills and your strengths are going to be serving a specific purpose that God's created for you. So listen to those little, you know, hints and nuances and the small voice of the Holy Spirit that's directing you to try this and explore that. And if God opens the door, then walk through it and don't be afraid to take risks, because he'll be there to support you and he'll make a way, even if they're, you know, the way seems really, really obscure and hard to imagine the next step. Just take one step at a time and God will show you the next thing from there. If you're in the center of his will, he'll provide for you. Also don't go the easy way, or like, don't, I learned not to, like try to be the, do the quick way or the cheap way or the less expensive way. Go the high integrity way, because if you can sleep with your, you know, sleep at night with yourself, then that's super important. If you, you know, if you really are, I think that that's felt, you know, that's enough said pretty much. You just have to have high integrity so that you can feel good about everything you're doing, because it'll all come back to you.
So good. Such sound advice. All right. As we're wrapping up, can you think, looking back on, I'm sure you have some incredible stories of healing that you were able to be a part of. What's one story that just sticks in your mind that you were able to be a part of and see how God works?
Well, there's so many, but one that really sticks in my mind is a friend of a family friend who was living in Colorado, was actually on in so much pain that he was on suicide watch because he did not see an end to his pain. And he just thought, well, you know, maybe I'll just end life because I can't see a future living in this suffering for any longer. And he was a Christian, and he was a man who had a really good wife who she did not give up hope. And she found us through her through our family friend. They referred her, the patient, to come to us. And he was, you know, it was against all odds. Like the first time he tried to fly out to us, there was a snowstorm that prevented him from traveling out. And I'm like, oh, please don't give up hope. You know, I'm praying for this man to make it here. He came out to our clinic after that week, the week following, and he got the regenerative treatments into his low back, and he was pain-free within 24 hours. We did the injections in his low back. We also did a treatment that's something you guys could look up on your own time called the stellate ganglion block. That's a reboot for the nervous system, and it helps the pain, the body to reset, memorize pain. So it also helps for PTSD too, as just a side note, but that the focus of the combination treatments was all he needed. So within 24 hours, he was pretty much pain-free, like significantly reduced. And then by, you know, the next 2 weeks, pain was gone. He was kneeling on the side of the bathtub, washing his, you know, grandkids in the bathtub. He was then a couple months later hiking and walking around South America on a, you know, those bumpy roads, you ride all the vans, the bumpy roads, and he didn't have back pain. When he came back from the airplane, he was just in tears. And I went to Colorado this year, and it's been 2-3 years since the treatment. And he still said, Carol, if I need to come back, I can come back to you, but I haven't had the need to come back to you. I'm just so amazed by the miracle of, you know, God healing me through your treatments. And that's a beautiful story.
That is beautiful. Incredible story. Well, I love the work you're doing, and I'm just hearing the story. And if people want to connect with you, what is your website?
Sure. joywellnesspartners.com. And you can email me at Carol, C-A-R-O-L, at joywellnesspartners.com. And you can also reach out to me through the podcast. If they have any other you know, ways to reach out to me, they can put me in touch with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today and telling us your story.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, for having me. And I encourage everyone out there to have a beautiful week and to continue to pursue those passions that God has instilled in you.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you have any questions for our guest or like information about North Star, please email us at podcast@nsa.school. We love having guests on our show and getting to hear their stories. If you have anyone in mind that you think would be a great guest to feature, please email us and let us know. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming stories.